Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, it's been over a year since Arts Connection talked to Allura artist Phil Irish. Phil and I have connected over the past year through, and I've kept up with his busy schedule through social media. But word about two of his most recent projects came to me, which is teaching art at Redeemer University College and taking part in a five-week artist residency at Alberta Banff Center for the Arts. Well, Phil's on the phone with us today from Banff to talk about these projects. But first, let's listen to Dancing Thanks from the Gracious Window CD by Hamilton musician Peter Tiglar. And into our conversation with Phil Irish. Good evening, Phil.
Good evening.
Now, it's been a while since we've talked on the air, and other than a couple of things we're going to talk about today, which is the teaching at Redeemer and the upcoming Banff Center for the Arts project, what have you been up to?
Well, those are the main things on my mind. I've also been working on some new aluminum paintings. Painting on aluminum, which relates to the project at Banff. And I also do some curating of exhibitions. So recently I curated an exhibition at the Allura Center for the Arts, and it was called Mediated Landscapes. And it showed artists working in four different media and how their material sense changed or opened up new ways of looking at landscape. And one of those artists was a digital artist, Alex McLeod, who works not like Photoshop where you're based on actual images of the real world, but using 3D modeling, I guess a little bit like video games, to make these amazingly poetic and quirky storytelling type images. That was a very exciting project that happened just recently.
Well, looking at the whole aspect of the couple of things we're going to talk about in it is the first one is Redeemer. How did that whole opportunity to teach at Redeemer University College come about for you?
Oh, well, so Redeemer down in Ancaster is a Christian university, and I started doing some work with them basically because I was curated into an exhibition, maybe 5 years ago. So I was in an exhibition there with a number of different artists and started to just, I didn't know the school before that, and I started to just kind of make connections there and appreciate what they were up to. So for a few years, I worked as a mentor for their senior exhibition. And so there might be, you know, a number of students in their last year who want to develop an exhibition. And because it's a small faculty there, often they partner those students with outside artists who have expertise in different areas. So it's an exciting moment for those students, and I was pleased to do that for a couple of years. And then they decided that they'd like me to come and work as faculty in the painting area.
Well, I guess your own experience as a curator in Alora would sort of be beneficial to them, because you could sort of give them an idea of what galleries would be looking for in terms of the type of things that they would need to develop for an exhibit.
Yeah, that's certainly an asset. Yeah, I look at so much work as an artist and as a sometimes curator, and kind of having a good sense of how that process works is definitely helpful to the students.
So in terms of teaching, what were you teaching this year?
So I've been teaching painting 1, 2, and 3. So painting 1 is the intro class. It tends to have a wide range of students, so not just fine art majors, but a wider range of students, and it's their introduction to. We use acrylics for that course, and it's just a great way to start to explore visual language and how to communicate with color and all these kind of things. And so intermediate painting 2, I've been teaching that as an oil course. I find instead of jumping around with materials, it's good to have a whole course in one material. And then painting 3, I don't actually prescribe a material at all. So this semester we had someone working in encaustic, which is painting with hot wax. We had a number of oil painters, some watercolor painters, some acrylic painters, someone using mostly inks, transparent inks, and a little more graphic design-like. So that course is driven by ideas and conceptual problems and how do we make meaning. Actually, I had one student submit a piece where they were tiny, tiny ink drawings on grains of rice. So we really try to open up in painting 3 what painting might mean.
Well, looking at that and looking at, you know, what you were doing as a mentor prior to teaching that, it sounds like there's a love there for passing on your experience, but also sort of passing on that aspect of the need and the importance for art. What's been the response of the students to having somebody with your experience being able to come in and sort of help them work through the process themselves?
It's been really rewarding, I think. I mean, there are other teachers there who also exhibit and you know, are practicing either art historians or practicing artists. I think that I bring a kind of trust in their ability to risk and explore and pursue an idea. So part of what I really value is teaching creative process as opposed to technique. Certainly we need technique. I teach that too. that, particularly in that painting 3 class, where they could choose their own material and then watch each other learn. The reaction to that was, I think they felt empowered, kind of set free to find something within themselves to express. And to set that within a bigger context of the art that's made in terms of contemporary art.
What have you yourself learned out of this whole experience?
I've learned that I really love teaching, particularly. I've done adult interest classes for a long time, and I love that too. But there's something about the arc of working with students over a longer period of time, where you see them grow, have an obstacle in their work, and then you help them find their way through that. That is just so rewarding. It's really exciting. And particularly in this last course with people working in different materials, I'm usually working in oils myself. So you know, working in encaustic. I was making some encaustic stuff as well. Just that interaction is really fruitful.
Well, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break and continue our conversation with Phil Irish and talk about his upcoming residency at the Banff Center for the Arts. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
From the sacred harps among the exiles come sounds of a rising hope. Where once they were feeling so all alone on the dark side of the road. From east to west the thunder is drumming, a voice rolling on. And the dreams that come are more like lightning than a slow unfolding dawn. Falling from a deeper sky than any we've ever flown. Joy more deep than wide than any we've yet been shown. And with the harps of the redeemed resounding, awakening the dawn, the dreams of flying come more like lightning the more you travel on. Falling down like rain, guided by a secret that undoes each bruising chain, so we can be in grace each day to face just what the lightning showed, lighting up the dark side of the road.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to More Like Lightning, the title track from Peter Tichlar's most recent CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with artist Phil Irish. Phil, one of the other projects you've got, you're working on is called Trashing Mountains, and that includes work at Banff Center for the Arts, the Athabasca Oil Sands, and you're actually in Banff now. How did that whole project and opportunity come about for you?
Well, as an artist, I'm always kind of fishing around for opportunities that can expand the work that I do. So the Banff Center offers a number of residencies. So artists come to stay for sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks, to do different projects. And sometimes they have a thematic one where there are a bunch of artists that are interested in similar questions that come at the same time. So I actually applied for this thematic residency and was accepted with my project. So I'm here for 6 weeks to work with Peter von Tiesenhausen is the lead artist on it, and he's an amazing artist from northern Alberta, and he does very strong, ecologically oriented work that's often sculptural, using found materials in different ways. So I just put together my proposal, and here I am. So it's quite a thrill.
Yeah. It seems like there's a little bit of a connection between this project and some of the stuff you've been doing with Makeshift, some of your recent work. How did that all sort of come together? What kind of attracted you to this particular, like you said, it's a thematic project. How did all of that, you know, sort of attract you?
Mm-hmm. Well, Makeshift was an exhibition where I was making large paintings of the interior of a house, and then And when I mean large, I mean, you know, some of these images were 8 by 10 feet. And then I would kind of chop these pieces apart and recombine them together. So they'd be hanging off the wall as these sheets of rippling paper with images on them. So the theme for this residency here at Banff is called Remaking. And it's about kind of finding images, making images, and then repurposing them, changing them. So the whole idea of transformation is built right into this residency. That applies, you know, I think that there's a symbolic resonance about that. I think it really speaks spiritually about brokenness and healing. So there are a number of angles to which this residency seemed to really fit with my passions and concerns.
Well, looking at that, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to? I mean, you're spending time in Banff, but you're also going to be going up to the north to the Athabasca oil sands as well. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to, and what are some of the challenges that you think you're going to be facing?
Yeah, great question. When I realized I was coming here, I'm working with landscape. I love landscape, and I thought, well, I've never been in the mountains. I'm going to want to paint the mountains. But I also just thought, well, I don't want to just paint the beautiful mountain. I want to think about what they mean in a broader setting. And so I just thought of some other places in Alberta that I would like to see or that I had kind of an opportunity to visit. So the one place that's a good friend of mine actually works at a huge landfill site, and it's kind of a state-of-the-art place that gets amazing number of huge trucks each day coming in there, and they figure out how to treat that in a safe way. So I'm actually heading there on Friday, and the trash keeps arriving late into the night, so I'm going to be taking photographs of these trucks lit at night, you know, building this mountain of trash. So I'll be looking at the beautiful mountains of Banff, but also at these mountains of trash that are kind of mountain that we're building collectively as a society. And then the next weekend, I'm going to fly up to Fort McMurray, where the oil sands are. And I'm just so grateful that a communications person up there is going to take me through one of the companies up there, the internal workings of how the operations work. Again, you know, I think about the glaciers, you know, the slow geological time of building mountains and eroding mountains, and how that makes us feel wonder and feel our smallness when we have this huge form in front of us. But then I think about the speed of our society and the fossil fuels that we use and how fast we move. So that kind of slowness of geological time against our speed. But, you know, global warming comes into there and questions like that. So I'm not sure how that's going to look. I know that I'm going to make images and chop them up, kind of like how I did with makeshift. But in terms of how they actually look, I'm open to be learning and exploring what these things mean. So I have 6 weeks, so it's not long. I just got my studio key yesterday, and I've already set up some stuff. But I like to work with a bit of pressure in there. So I'm really thrilled to be doing this project.
Well, how are you going to get the stuff back once you finish it?
Well, that's a great question. They have a great wood shop here, so I'll probably end up building a crate. I'll be phoning the airport and seeing what the maximum size that I can. Obviously, it won't be like your normal. It'd be more like a shipping question, but I think you can get deals if you're also flying at the same time.
Yeah. It's not your usual carry-on luggage.
No. The big paper things roll up, so I'll have a big sonotube. And then I'll have some kind of crate thing for the aluminum stuff. And well, that's one of the costs of doing business, I guess.
Well, one of the things that happened with that is in order to do this and to cover some of the expenses that are associated by this, you did a crowdfunding appeal. How did that go?
You know, I've never in my life done anything like that. And so I was nervous, and it worked out very well. So it's through a website called Kickstarter, and they allow people to kind of enable people to pitch an idea, a creative idea. It's all creative proposals about a specific thing you're going to be working on. And then people can donate to that. And you kind of, as an artist, I had a bunch of rewards. So if someone gives $25, then they get something when it's done. And amazingly, wonderfully, I put some higher options, you know, get a small constructed aluminum painting for $500, and few people chose that kind of option. So I've more than reached my kind of minimum goal, and it's kind of reached a much more useful amount that's really going to enable me to do this project. So it's great to feel the support of so many people. Most of the people that donated were previous collectors or you know, some friends and family in there as well. But there were also some people that I have no idea who they are. And it just kind of makes the circle of art engagement a little wider. And I'm really grateful for those people.
And the other thing you did, too, is you were also looking at providing the use of your studio in exchange for someone to give your wife some help at home in that. Did that come to fruition at all? Or
We didn't end up going that route. But, yeah, I was kind of trying to figure out how to make this work as a family. I have two kids, right, and I'm crazy about my family, and this is 6 weeks away. You know, sometimes as an artist, it's important to reach beyond your usual zone, and I felt like this was the right time to do that. But we wanted to make sure that everything was good on the home front. We've actually hired a university student, a girl from our church, who is back, you know, for the summer, and we've hired her for the month to do some daycare stuff and other things that would usually be on my roster of tasks. I've checked in with the family and everything, of course, and they're doing fine. But yeah, that was an interesting idea I had, but I don't think we really had time to set that up in the amount of time we had.
Well, we're going to take one final break, and when we come back, we'll finish up our conversation with artist Phil Irish. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
People eat, drink, and give themselves in marriage like before the flood. But these unions are becoming so empty as they gnaw the blood. Oh, how long will we be blind to the things that make for peace? And how long can we stand to see iniquity?
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to News from On High from Peter Tichelaar's Gracious Window CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Phil. Phil, looking at once the residency is done, are there any plans for an exhibit of the Trashing Mountains project?
Well, nothing firm yet. There's a few conversations. I have a curator visiting in June when I get back. So we'll see. I'm sure it'll be around somewhere, and I'll be sure to let you know. I think as I've been talking about this project, there's been quite a lot of response already. So I'm confident there'll be some different opportunities in different places to see it.
And you also said you're working with a group of artists that are there. Are there any plans for anything at the Banff Center for the Arts itself of sort of an exhibit of all of the projects that are going on in this time?
There is a kind of project space here, a small gallery. So there's what's it called, the Walter Phillips Gallery, I think, is like a, you know, curated 2 years ahead of time kind of professional gallery. But there is a project gallery that's available to us here, and we've just arrived, so I'm not sure how we're going to use that. But I think there will be some collaborations and short exhibitions here of working on things. I'm really excited about that possibility as well. You know, there are people here from Australia, from Germany. There's a couple here from Brooklyn. It's really interesting to meet these people and see what their passions are and curiosities are, and to to share our stories. And that's one of the rich rewards, I think, of being in a place like this.
Any thoughts on where things are going to go after this?
I'm going to lean into this as hard as I can, and I'm hoping that this project will, you know, tour. I'd love to send it beyond Ontario. I'd love to show it in Alberta. I don't have that many connections out here, but we'll see what we can do. So In terms of other themes after this, who knows? Actually, I've done a few residencies in my life, and they've always led to sustained projects that lasted for a while. I spent a month in Newfoundland in 2000 and ended up painting ocean and water images for a few years. And in 2005, I started my map projects actually at a residency in Quebec, and I worked on variations of the map paintings for about 5 years as well. So who knows how one question might lead to another here, working with mountains and these kind of themes.
Well, where can people find out more about what's going on with the residency and just your art in general?
Well, I have a website. That's a great way to see my work, I'll mention two websites. So the first one is philirish.com, and that has my gallery pages and things like that. I've also just started a blog just with this trip, and it's not linked into my main website. I have to figure out how to do that, and I don't have my big computer here because I'm in Banff. But it's on a thing called Tumblr, and it's phil-irish-artist.tumblr.com. And so that's really fun. I'm showing images of my sketches, my drawings, art that I'm finding inspiring. I'm going to write about the Banff Center, my different trips. I'm showing photographs of the different places I go. And I'm really excited about that. So, if your listeners would like to kind of follow along with this project for 6 weeks, you just check it out there. There's already content up there. There are also a couple ways you could follow that blog and follow it along over the process.
Great. Well, Phil, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you. It's wonderful to talk to you again.
Yeah, bye-bye. Well, thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Phil Irish. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries, email robert@selavministries.ca or follow us on Twitter @Selav13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.